This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted and happy to be with you today. We love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. We always encourage you to give us a call here. Let me give you that toll-free number that you can use if you're in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also have a number for you if you are outside of North America. That number is country code 1-205-271-2985. Again, that is country code 1-205-271-2985. And I want to remind you, if you are out there in social media land, we are available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. And if you're out there already, you see my husband, Jack Williams, waving to you. And there's a reason for that. It's because this is the first Monday of the month. And what do we do on the first Monday of the month? We have monthly Marriage Monday. So Jack and I are here together to answer your questions about marriage or relationships. Anything that pertains to that is what we dedicate on this day. So we certainly do invite you to give us a call. Again, that's 833-986. Wow. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Johnette.
How are you?
You know what? If I were any better, I'd be jealous of myself.
Well, that's true, I guess. You know, I do want to let you know that we are in Florida right now, so very frequently you see us in studio together. We're not quite in studio together, but we're in the same room, right? We're right beside each other. See, look. So here we are.
It almost looks like we're in the same room.
Yes, and that was because we are in the same room.
Yeah. Well,
so we're inviting you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. Well, I just want to share with everybody that we spent a very lovely evening last night with our friends, Sherry and John Fennessy, and we had a chance to interact with their new baby grandson, which was so much fun, and to catch up with their daughter, Noelle, and her husband, Nick. And, you know, it reminds me of the fact that it's so important to have deep friendships. You know, it's so important to have those individuals in our lives that understand us and know us and have seen us through difficult times and, you know, really meet each other in the heart, so to speak. And of course, marriage is meant to be that. But oftentimes, I think marriages are encouraged by the relationships that they have with other couples. What do you think about that?
I agree.
Gee, Jack. You know, I was really looking for like a, you know, some kind of deep insight, some philosophical.
Yes, I totally agree.
Okay.
Is that deep enough?
Well, that is. So if Sherry and John are listening, we just say thank you for a lovely evening last night. And we you know, do you have friends in your life, couples that are friends of you and your spouse? It's important. Share with us a little bit about how your friendships have inspired your marriage and how in those difficult moments of marriage that sometimes occur, you know, especially when you're facing big issues, you know, sickness and things of that nature, how they have bolstered you up. I think that's a beautiful thing to think about as we enter into this beautiful season of Christmas. We're in the Advent season right now, but this is a time to be absolutely grateful for the greatest gift of all, our Lord Jesus Christ, and all of the beautiful blessings that come by way of him, one of which I think are good friendships.
I agree.
Oh, geez.
There's a theme for the program here.
Jack, I'm so glad you're being so agreeable. It makes me so glad. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today. Also, you can use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We've got Jeff Burson, our producer, and our social media manager, who will dash out there and retrieve your questions that you leave in that chat feature. He'll get them up on the board. We'll be able to address them together. Additionally, Matt Gabinski is on the phones, and he would be happy to receive your call, 833-288-3986.
Pick up the phone, 833-288-3986. EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Wide open phone lines. Be the first to pick up the phone and give us a call at 833-288-EWTN. Bless you.
Thank you very much. I'm sneezing here. You know, it's a funny thing. When we return to Florida, you know, I start to sneeze. And of course, I lived here for so many years, but I think the flora and fauna, when you're away from it, kind of affects you when you come back. So thank you for the blessings. I appreciate them. A couple of little sneezes will probably sneak out through the course of our time together today, but we do look forward to hearing from you.
So we want to talk about friendships.
Yes.
And it's the Advent season leading into the Christmas season when sometimes we see friends that we haven't seen in a long time.
That's right.
Sometimes that's good. Maybe sometimes it's not as good as at other times. And, you know, when you enter into a marriage, into a relationship, sometimes it also necessitates a change in the dynamics of some of your friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of your friendships may have revolved around certain dynamics that are not necessarily conducive to building and edifying your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's true.
Like shopping all the time. Like if you have a relationship with a friend and your relationship revolved around shopping and all you had to ever worry about was yourself and you would like just go shopping all the time. I'm just trying not to hammer on the guys all the time. That's all. I'm trying to think of something.
That's true.
We do that. We hammer on the guys here in America.
Yeah, well, and that's not a good thing. But no. Sometimes, though, you know, a little hammering doesn't hurt. Kind of straightens out the deal. But all of that being said, I think that you bring up a very good point that, you know, when you enter into a relationship, you kind of have an opportunity to look through a different lens at the past habits that you've had and if they involve individuals who encourage those habits. Like, I'll give you a good example. You know, when you are a single person and a lot of your evenings were occupied by, you know, sports events or going to sports bars, when you get involved in a relationship, some of those things need to be curtailed because it's not healthy for the relationship and you're not in the same position that you were once in.
Or if you sat in someone's basement playing video games.
Well, that is very true. I think that probably video games...
You know, there was a survey not too long ago. I mean, it's been a little while ago now, probably a decade ago now, and I can't remember the details of the survey. But the one thing that I remember about the survey that stuck out to me is that they were surveying single women.
Okay.
You know, 20s, 30s aged single women. And they were trying to determine what women were looking for in a man,
mm-hmm.
in a single man, in,
yes.
for marriage, right?
Yes.
And the number one thing in the survey that women were looking for in a man was a man who didn't play video games.
Well, you know why? Because there's a very addictive quality to those video games, and you can lose your life in the video game. And some of the video games are very unhealthy, just in the themes that they present and the activities that they encourage. And I'm afraid that we see lots of that going on. We're going to go to a break. 833-288-EWTN. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Don't delay. Call right away. We're going to be right back.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live, and we are delighted you're with us today. We're inviting you to give us a call. You just heard those numbers, but I'm going to repeat them for you. 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Do pick up the phone. Give us a call. Don't delay. Call right away. The phone lines are all open for you here. We're eager to hear from you today. Also want to remind you that we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Please do use the chat feature and put your question in there. Jeff Burson will go on out there, get it, put it up on the board. Matt Kabinski answering the phones today. Let the gentleman know if you're a first timer, whether it's a submitter or a caller, and we will ring. I think Jeff will ring the welcome bell for you today. I don't have a bell here, Jack. I got to get a bell here.
You got three bells sitting on your other desk. Why do you not? You need a.
I know.
You need a Bell diversification plan.
You know what? I like Bells, everybody.
You have put all of your Bells in one egg basket.
They're all on the desk. Yeah, in Birmingham. And then I have two other Bells that are in the closet in the one spare bedroom in Birmingham. And we are Bell-less here in Florida. So we might have to go shopping later today. Oh, wait a moment. That could be a problem in a friendship. Oh, dear me.
I hope this person who's calling in is the person who called in before. It's not. That person dropped off the line, but they had a great thing they wanted to talk about.
I know, and it had to do with masks.
they said that they listened to what we were talking about at the beginning. Was it Angie?
Yes.
And she said she's renewing a friendship with her mask.
Making a new friendship
with her mask, and she's and the relationship is growing tighter because now that the winter months are coming, the mask helps to keep her warm.
Yeah. And Aristotle spoke about this, and then St. Thomas Aquinas took what Aristotle said, and he broadened it out to incorporate into that, you know, a Christ-like attitude towards friendship. But basically, there are those friendships, and I'll bet your friends you have had a friendship like this, where it was really about self-interest, right? It was just about you. It was all about you, or it was all about them, because they felt that you could do something for them, or you felt that that person could do something for you. Then the next step of friendship is really those kinds that grow up in fraternal organizations, etc., where you're networking with people, right? And to be of mutual benefit. But as you go along that continuum, you ultimately get to the highest form of friendship. And that highest form of friendship is where you love this person with a filial love, right? With a brotherly or sisterly love. You love this person, and you will only the best for that person. Only the best for that person. And what is the ultimate best? The ultimate best is eternal life. And I think that this is a really good way to gauge friendships, as we were talking about earlier in the program, Jack. I mean, you know, when you really want only the best, ultimately the salvation of your friend, and you're helping your friend achieve that, and they in turn are helping you achieve that, then you have a really strong friendship. And may I say that that is the basis for marriage. Marriage should have, maybe even should begin with this strong friendship. We like the romantic aspect of it all of the time, but the idea is that you form this deep bond of the soul where you will the ultimate good for the other. And marriage, that vocation, is all about getting your spouse, your husband or your wife, to heaven. And so that has to be an integral, maybe even the foundational element to your married life. And so I think that as we look at that, we understand that sometimes in our relationships, we're not acting out of that generosity of heart. We're acting out of self-interest. We, you know, have a mutual, you know, desire for something. So we collaborate in the building up of a life together. But are we really working and striving for the other party's salvation?
Well, we have a caller.
Okay.
And I'm almost as excited about this caller as I was about Angie. But Jaylee is in the great state of Connecticut, and she is going to get right down to where the rubber meets the road when it comes to marriage. Jaylee, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
We're glad to have you here with us today.
Yeah, I'm glad to call. I think this was like a sign from God, because I was just like, let me just put on the radio, and you guys just happened to talk about marriage, and I know you guys had the open lines, and I was like, maybe this is Jesus saying you need to call.
Oh, well, I'm glad you did. And what would he be prompting you to talk about with us?
So me and my husband sometimes, I guess, tend to butt heads, and I've tried to, like, find what I need to do. So I'm a very, like, I like my house to be, like, immaculate clean. Mm-hmm. And my husband is one that he forgets to, like, just put stuff away. And it's like, I always tell him, like, do this in the moment because you know you're going to forget. And just lately, he's been very snappy towards me, to the sense where it's like, I have to, like, you know, be like, listen, just do this now. And then he'll get upset at me, get an attitude, or then blame it on me. Or even sometimes I'll try to say, hey, like, for instance, he was painting some doors that we had, and I said, it would be easier if you just take it off the hinge and paint it in the garage, because you have the space and everything. And he's like, no, I'm just going to paint it here. And when I called him to check up because he wanted me to go to my mom's house, he was really frustrated. He was like, oh, it didn't come out the way that I wanted it to. I should have just purchased this. Like, he was just really upset. And I told him, I was like, well, I told you that it would have been easier if you would have done it in the garage. And he's like, oh, well, it's all your fault because now you're getting me upset. And sometimes it's frustrating because it's like, how do you help someone that doesn't want to be helped? Like, and then it affects you too. And that's what I try to tell him. Like, your actions and your behaviors don't only affect yourself, it affects you. We have a 3-year-old and we also have a 9-month. So I tell him, like, it affects them too. And if we're arguing in front of them, like, that's not okay. And we've done, like, we used to do therapy and he was very resistant towards it. And then, like, the therapist wasn't consistent. And then, you know, eventually we kind of found ways to communicate, which was fine. And then recently I told him, like, well, maybe you just need to go to a priest because we're both Catholic and he's very open and he's gotten a lot of spiritual directions in his life. He was raised in Puerto Rico and we moved to Connecticut 3 years ago. I was raised here, but my family's Puerto Rico too. So I know he has that aspect of, like, he misses his family, and I feel like that adds on to it. But it's hard because it's like I try to help him and he doesn't want to receive it, and then he doesn't see how it affects everyone else. And it's also frustrating when you're trying to raise a family, and yes, our kids are smaller, but they're going to grow up. And I was told, like, the way that you're acting towards me is what they're going to see. And they could end up acting that way because that's the example that you're giving them. And sometimes, like, we'll just argue and I don't care because I'm at the point where I have no patience. So it's like, I don't want to be giving that example to my children either. So I've just been so frustrated because I'm like, I know that sometimes God calls us to be patient and we have to find ways to say things, or you're not going to fight with for every little thing. But then I feel like after a certain point, you keep doing that and that person doesn't notice what they're doing is wrong. Like, you know, you can't do that forever either, because you have to call them out on what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you're talking about this, Jaylee, I'm thinking to myself that there are several dynamics that are going on. But I want to start off by saying that sometimes the dynamics that begin in marriage become habits in marriage. And the functional ways in which we communicate that lead to really good things, as well as the dysfunctional that lead to really bad things, can become part and parcel of a relationship. So what you want to do, because it sounds like you're not married all that long, you have young children and all, you want to try to reverse that dynamic where it's this arguing, and I agree with you, don't argue in front of the children, you know, and you want to try to find another way to approach these issues that divide you. The other thing I wanted to say is that, was he raised in Puerto Rico or was he raised here?
No, he was raised in Puerto Rico.
Okay, so,
we met over there.
Okay. So, you know, there is a cultural difference too. And some of those cultural differences need to be addressed and they need to be worked out. And I think that that's achievable, but both parties have got to feel, excuse me, that they're being heard. And that's the most important thing. So if he feels like you're not hearing him, and you in turn obviously feel like he's not hearing you, and here I don't mean just the sounds that you're making with your mouth or the words, he's hearing your heart and he's hearing, you know, your frustration. You are hearing possibly, I don't know how you're interpreting his behavior, but maybe some obstinacy, stubbornness in these areas. And then his back gets up and then he defends his position. Then you defend your position. And now you're at loggerheads. That's going to solve absolutely nothing. And it's going to set up, it's already probably setting up a very bad habit inside of the marriage itself. So something's got to get in there to change it. And I would recommend that you try in a moment that is not a frustrating moment, in a moment when you're really communicating as husband and wife, that you say to him, I like when we're able to talk about these things in this way. This is so helpful. And you make me feel very treasured, and you make me feel very affirmed, and it makes me feel as though you're really listening to me. And I want to be that for you too. How can we have more of these moments? And begin to strategize for that, and hopefully start to replace, you know, some of these irritations with some of that. Jack?
I think that is sound advice, and I certainly understand your frustration. And I think that we all find ourselves in those situations every once in a while. You know, some advice that doesn't immediately seem like it is directly related to this, but I'll bring it around so that I think you can see that it does a little bit, is I was having a conversation with the former Rosalind Moss, who is now Mother Miriam of the Lamb of God, many years ago, decades ago, about the frustration that we each felt when we would see blatant liturgical abuses during the Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Something going on that anyone would almost have to admit is not something that ought to be going on during the Mass. And what she told me was, she said, in that moment, when I feel myself getting frustrated, I try to think to myself, this is Jesus truly and substantially present in the most blessed sacrament, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and I am not worthy to receive him. And she said that always seems to put things back into perspective for me a little bit. And so, and the way this kind of relates to this, I think, is to keep in mind sometimes that you may be 1,000% correct about something. You may have absolutely the correct and right position on a certain issue, but that doesn't necessarily mean that continually pointing that fact out to the person who is completely and totally not on the right side of the issue is not going to get you where you need to go, maybe.
Yeah, because as I say, what happens is oftentimes, at least this has been my experience in life, Jay Lee, with children as well as with, you know, husbands, you know, and I can see some of the dynamics that were present in, you know, my first marriage, and now with Jack, trying not to have that happen again. And you can see things that were present in your marriage with Susie that we've tried not to bring into this marriage. And what happens oftentimes is that people will get dug in. They'll just get dug in, and just out of, you know, defiance, really, will stand by their position, even if they know interiorly it's not the right thing. And you would know better than anyone, you know, how it was that your husband was raised. You know, maybe his mom did everything for him, you know, and nobody picked up after him and everything. And so there is that kind of a thing. And I just want to say this about that. I think that it does our sons a great deal of disservice not to have our sons be responsible for picking up after themselves. Of course, this applies to daughters too. But it seems to me that there's more leniency with regard to sons, with mothers being lenient toward the son than oftentimes toward the daughter. It's not helpful. I mean, moms should be mm-hmm. training their son for the next vocation, whether that's marriage or priesthood or whatever, but really to train them to be responsible. And if that's not done, then it becomes the job of the wife to help make that happen. And that's where it gets really, you know, that's where it gets a little dicey. And I think your point is very good, that not every time, but, you know, not every time, but...
Well, and the last thing I'd like to piggyback onto that is Father Wade Menezes, who's mm-hmm. the host of Open Line Tuesday, gives three, and it's the mind of Holy Mother Church, but there are certain characteristics that we should adhere to when we're giving fraternal correction to anyone, whether it be our spouse or just any other brother and sister in the Lord. And that is that fraternal correction should be given privately, charitably, and rarely.
Mm-hmm.
So this comes into maybe, you know, trying not to bring these conversations up when the kids are present, you know,
right.
In this situation would speak to the privately portion of this. You know, charitably, you know.
Always with love.
But for the grace of God go I, right? And then rarely, you know, you can't, you know, if you just keep beating the horse over the head, it's not generally going to get you any further down the road.
Yeah, and one other thing, Jay Lee, on Friday of last week, I interviewed Dr. Ray Guarendi, and we were talking about it. He's written a book called Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, and we were talking about, you know, how anger can really erupt and things are said and then we're regretful about what is said. And so he recommended this. So, you know, just picture the scenario. You come in and things that you had hoped would have been accomplished weren't accomplished. And he said, what can happen is if we, and vice versa, this applies the whole way around into any relationship. If you get, you know, the first thing that happens is you get angry and the adrenaline pumps up and, you know, and then there's no thinking process and words shoot out of the mouth. You can't take those words back. They're stated and this can escalate. So what he recommends is, you know, take a breather, you know, literally count to 10. Walk out of the room, come back in again, or wait until you're really calmed down and discuss it at a later time. And that might be better. You know, I was really hoping this would have happened while I was gone or whatever the case may be. And then it wasn't. And you know, I just didn't think like you realized how troublesome this is for me, however you would phrase it in the aftermath, but not to speak out of the emotion. And I think that that's a really good thing for every relationship.
I agree. Is any of this helpful at all, Jaylee?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really helpful. Thank you. I think I needed to hear all this.
Oh, well, good. Well, we hope that that it can be implemented and that this can be resolved. And I'm just so delighted that you did call in today because these are issues that pertain to everybody, Jaylee, not just you and your husband, but this characteristic of many relationships. Will you hear that music? We're going to bid you adieu, Jaylee. Thank you so much for calling. And we're inviting you to give us a call, too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's Monthly Marriage Monday. I'm here with my husband, Jack Williams. We're delighted you're with us. Pick up the phone. We are looking forward to hearing from you. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there and it'll come up on our board for us and we can address what your concerns are too. We're going to be right back inviting you to stay with us.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams here today with my husband, Jack Williams. It is Monthly Marriage Monday, and we're inviting you to give us a call. Phone lines are open for you. Matt Gabinski on the phones. We've got Jeff Burson out there in social media land. To join us by phone, do use this toll-free number if you're in North America. It's 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. In addition to that number, if you're outside of North America, we've got one for you too. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. To join us via social media, go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page and use the chat feature there and we'll get it up on the board and we can address your concerns. Two things I wanted to say, Jack. One thing that I wanted to say was we were talking about friendships and we were talking about the importance of having friends in our lives that really edify and build up our marriages, right? And we're talking specifically about couples that do that. We were also talking about how it is that perhaps, you know, our friendships may need to change when we become involved in a serious relationship that looks very much like it's heading toward. Scientific research has been done that indicates that divorce is contagious. And so this is one area where I think it's very important for us to be aware that, you know, when we when we have friends and friends are very dissatisfied in their relationship and they begin to complain about their husband or their wife, it can cause us to become hypercritical of our husband or our wife. And as a result of that, it can lead to a negative way of communicating and a negative lens through which we look at the marriage. We become dissatisfied too. And what they're finding is that when, you know, an individual divorces and that couple's relationship is collapsed, oftentimes other people that are close to that couple will begin to become dissatisfied with their marriage. And it kind of communicates itself like a social disease in some ways. So that's an important thing to remember. And then on the point to Jay Lee, I opened up my book, Experience Grace and Abundance, 10 Strategies for Your Spiritual Life, which is available for you out there at EWTN's Religious Catalog. That's Experience Grace and Abundance, 10 Strategies for Your Spiritual Life, EWTNRC.com is the website. In one of the chapters in here, it's Love Your Neighbor as Yourself, and it's talking about what true charity is and how it is that we build up relationships. And there's a beautiful quote, and I think a very true quote and a poignant one that I used in one chapter or in one section of that chapter on loving words. And I wrote this in his book, God's World and Our Place in It. Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen said, "A kind word gives encouragement to the despondent heart, and a cruel word makes others sob their way to the grave." So very frequently, you know, the words that we speak, you know, God created us in his image and likeness. And how was it that the word created the world? God spoke the world into being. Let it be, and it was. Let it be, and it was. Let it be, and it was. You can go back to Genesis chapter 1, and you can read the let it be's, okay? So the fact is, made in the image and likeness of God, our capacity to speak can build or tear down. It can elevate or it can destroy. And so we have to be very careful about the words that we speak and how they're chosen, to the point of not speaking out in anger, right? Because what we don't understand is that we can break a heart, which might be very hard to mend again. So just some words about that, I think, that help for us to understand that this gift that we have in each other is meant to be a treasured gift. And it's meant to be something that is taken not for granted, but is taken as a benefaction of God himself. And so we need to be God-like in our relationships with each other. And that's got to be what we've got to be thinking about all day. And it wouldn't hurt for couples to wake up in the morning and to say, "Oh my goodness, Lord, I want to serve you today. And I'm going to serve you by serving my husband, or I'm going to serve you by serving my spouse. Show me the ways in which I can be a positive, loving influence in his life or in her life that leads them in the way in which they should go." So just wanted to share some of that with you, you know, and I was talking about those characteristics of friendship or the types of friendship. But one other thing that St. Thomas talks about, which is in this book, in this particular chapter, talks about those things that are the hallmark of what a true friendship is. And St. Thomas Aquinas says that a true friendship is benevolent, right? It's benevolent, that there is a mutual love, and that there is a community of life. And that's the other thing, is to find interests that draw you together, right? That you share your life together. You're not living as married singles, but you're living this one fleshedness that marriage is meant to be. What do you think, Jack? Oh, okay. So let me just take a look over here. We have Lulu. And Lulu is with us on YouTube, and she says, "So do I just not..."
I'm trying to help you here.
Well, I know.
It's related to what you just talked about.
Okay. Why don't you do that? You do that part.
I didn't just talk about it.
Okay. Okay. So Lulu says, "So do I just not talk to my amiga when she nags me about her husband?" Well, you know, I think... So Lulu, you want to be a good friend to your friend, right? You want to be a good friend to her, right? So when she starts to nag about her husband, you know, you might just counter that and say, "You know, amiga, you know, what is it about him that drew you to him in the first place? You know, what are those qualities that you see in him? And how have you seen those qualities in him recently?" You know, so try to redirect the conversation to get her off of the nagging and to look at her spouse through a lens that is a loving lens, a benevolent lens, right? You know, I understand how what's the word that I want to, it can be very frustrating to have somebody always nagging about their spouse. It's very, and that can be very harmful for you if you happen to be married too. So that's what I would do. I would say, well, you know, I've often noticed how, you know, your husband, you know, pay such close attention to children. I really admire the fact that he's so, you know, involved in your children. Try to build up his qualities and ask her, you know, what drew you to him? That might be a good way to get her out of that nagging mode.
Or maybe even point out the things that you know are virtuous about him.
Yeah, that's what I was indicating. Yeah, the very same thing. So I hope that helps you, Lulu. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us today. We have Joseph out there on YouTube. He's asking for prayers. My wife and I found out we are expecting our third child. We lost our last baby very early on in the pregnancy and are naturally very worried. It is hard to be both excited. They're both excited and scared. Well, Joseph, let's just do that right now. And we are going to ask for the prayerful intercession of St. Gerard. And I'm also going to ask the prayerful intercession of St. Anne to be praying as we, and St. Joachim, as we take this to our Lord now. So Father God, we do come up into your presence in this moment, and we lift Joseph and his wife up to you. And Father, we are so delighted, so pleased, so grateful that life is blooming in Joseph's wife's womb. Father God, we thank you so very much for this precious one that you have chosen from before the very foundations of the world were laid in place to be Joseph and his wife's son or daughter. Father God, we would just ask now that through the intercession of St. Anne and St. Joachim, through St. Gerard, we're just asking for protective graces to encompass Joseph's wife's womb. We ask, Father God, that this baby's guardian angel already is at the ready, protecting this child from any kind of circumstance that could threaten this baby's gestational process. Father, we ask that you would give Joseph and his wife trust in you and true confidence in you, that the good work that you have begun, this new life, would be brought to completion, and they will hold this little one in their arms. We ask you, Mary, our mother, who lost her son, to please continue to intercede and to console Joseph and his wife for the loss of this baby that they had and that they lost. And we ask you, Mary, our mother, to intercede as well and to pray for the health and well-being of this baby that is now in Joseph's wife's womb. And we ask you, Mary, to wrap your mantle of protection over this child and over this couple and all of their children. We offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and hallelujah.
You know, and some encouragement for Joseph is we know of a family that had a similar situation. And this is a family that has many children. And after having many children, had a pregnancy that ended in the same way that Joseph and his wife's pregnancy ended here. And they were then conceived again and were able to have another child who has just brought crazy, unique, and interesting blessings to the whole family.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's understandable how there would be that kind of nervousness and anxiety about this pregnancy after having suffered the loss of a baby during the prior pregnancy. But God is there and with you, Joseph, and we will be tucking you into our rosary today. I can assure you of that. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Jump on the line now. If you wait much longer than now, we're going to get right to the end of the program, and three or four of you are going to call, and then you're going to be frustrated because we didn't have time to get your call on the air.
I know.
So pick up the phone and call now.
Yep. Yep. That always makes us sad. That happens a lot. So we want you to call in early, and, you know, this is a good time. So, you know, what would you say, Jack, would be some of those other characteristics and hallmarks that a marriage should work on in order to build this ongoing friendship with a spouse?
Well, I mean, the same things that would build a friendship with anybody else, You know, and I think sometimes we, you know what, oftentimes something that we discount, I think, you know, if we sat down and thought about it for any length of time, we would realize it, but it's not something that's in the forefront of our thoughts. Is we think about some of our best friendships, right? And you know, we are with those people that we're close to in that filial kind of a relationship, you know, only at certain times and in certain circumstances. So you develop that kind of a friendship with the person that you eventually marry initially, right? Mm-hmm. Same kind of a deal. But then you enter into a situation where you're with that person all the time.
Yes.
And then some of the existing friendships sometimes start to look even more attractive than they ever looked before because you're not with those people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you tend to get the best of those people and you tend a lot of times to get spared the worst of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people haven't changed, but your impression of them has changed because now the person that you were so head over heels in love with and still are, you now see and have to deal with aspects of their humanness that you didn't before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
And I think it would be helpful in those moments, not to put a negative spin on it, but to acknowledge the reality that, you know, if I were in this kind of a situation with these other people that I'm thinking of so fondly right now, I would have the same reaction to them if I were with them all the time because, you know, at the end of the day, short of our Blessed Mother, we're all abundantly human.
We're all scarred by the residual effects of original sin. But here are a couple of ingredients that I just very quickly want to throw out there that I think make any kind of a relationship that much sweeter, and especially a marital relationship. We mentioned loving words. So choose words that are loving and be sure that you say loving words to your loved one every day. Loving words, right?
Positive, loving words.
Even when it has to be fraternal correction, you know, loving words. Courtesy. Be courteous. Be courteous to your loved one. Be courteous, gentlemen, to your wives. Wives, be courteous to your husband, right? You know, do little sweet things for them and be kind. Thank you. Please. Those kinds of things. Because that will save you from taking each other for granted. And then I would also want to say patient forbearance. Patient forbearance, right? Those are two really good words. Patient forbearance. Sometimes that is just keeping your mouth shut and saying absolutely nothing when you're abundantly irritated. You know, and that we practice patience to become patient, to become a patient person. So practice it with forbearance. With forbearance meaning that there is a little suffering involved in this, but you are willing to bear it for the sake of the other. So, you know, I think that those ingredients can help us. We had a gentleman here saying that he's had 48 years of great friendship with his wife. And I think that those three ingredients can help for a marriage to be that type of a deep, abiding friendship oriented towards the ultimate good for the one that you love.
And let me say a word about loving words.
Okay.
A word about loving words.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a loving word to me.
Well, okay.
I don't want to put you on the spot. Go ahead. Say something about loving words, Jack. I got him, everybody. I got him. I got him.
you've increased you've created an opportunity for heroic virtue.
Are you practicing patient forbearance, yeah. Jack?
I don't have time for patience. but in all seriousness, right?
Yes.
Make sure that these are positive and edifying words.
Yes.
Because you can say the same thing in very different ways.
Oh, right? Sure. Yeah, you can be very sarcastic.
Know, like, you know, I could say, as I could say almost every day, Johnette, you're so sweet and loving today. Right?
Yes.
And that's much better. No, and that's a much better thing to say.
Yeah.
you can convey the same sentiment in not as good a way.
Yeah.
Not as a productive a way as, okay, you know, oh, Johnette, I couldn't help but notice that you're not nearly as cranky and nasty today as you usually are.
Oh, that wouldn't be good.
No, but you know, no. people, that's the way people view, some people view compliments that way.
Yeah, yeah. That's not a compliment.
No, but that's, you know.
That's passive aggressive behavior.
Yeah, but it's.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. But you are right about that. So tone of voice is what you're suggesting, yeah, you know, well, and the phraseology.
Choice of words.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah, it's true. So we have to be careful in all of those ways. But and that takes practice, really. You know, for some people, that's a very easy thing. But for other people, that doesn't come naturally. But it needs to happen.
Yeah, and I think some people, you know, I think, you know what I think would benefit all of us from time to time?
What's that?
Is to just find some vehicle by which you can meditate and contemplate the passion of our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be the prayers of St. Bridget or whether it be the Stations of the Cross, or, you know, we should have a regular part of our devotional life should be geared toward the passion of our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because if, you know, if we really kind of get into, you know, what our Lord suffered. And not only what our Lord suffered, but if we can get a grasp on the degree to which he was undeserving of it, well beyond anything we could ever experience here on earth, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, an extra 5 minutes to put your makeup on doesn't seem like that big a deal. Or a pair of socks laying on the floor don't seem like as big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Or painting the carpet doesn't mm-hmm. seem like as big a deal.
Painting the carpet?
Isn't that what JC said, her husband? Got paint on the carpet because he.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, 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 right.
The way
right.
she suggested that he ought to do it.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, you know.
Yeah, well, and I think that you know, we can get very hyper focused, you know, on certain things, and we have to try to lighten up a little bit, just lighten up a little bit.
You know, and one way you can lighten up is by listening to EWTN Radio. And you know that you can hear EWTN Radio on many smart speaker systems.
Really?
That are out there, some of which we have in this very house right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be very careful about the names that I use. But if you want to try it out, you could just say something like, Alexa.
Yes,
play
you can.
EWTN Radio.
That's exactly right.
And she'll do it.
Yes, she will. She will indeed. Or you could even tell, set your alarm that way. You know?
Yeah.
Wake me up to Alexa. Up to EWTN Radio.
You can quit whispering after you say the name.
Oh, that is true, I guess.
And also, one little reminder here, the Journey Home is tonight. I love Monday nights. It's the Journey Home with Marcus Grody, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Tonight he has Craig Alexander, who was raised Methodist, and Craig will discuss his experience in the Marine Corps and the consequences of his own mistakes, and that helped him embrace the Catholic faith. That's the Journey Home with Marcus Grody tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on EWTN Television and Radio.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the programming on EWTN Radio is so excellent, and we welcome you to listen all day. And I know many people that do listen all day, that it's just on all of the time.
Yeah.
Grow in your faith, right? Mm-hmm. Grow in your relationship with the Lord. Right? Grow in your relationship with each other, all through EWTN Radio. Well, I think that we've got, I don't know, what, I can't read that time, Jack, but I think that we're getting
three minutes.
Okay, well, we could take a call, 833.
Which means there's less than 3 minutes.
Okay, so 833-288-EWTN, that's 833-288-3986. So, you know, what would be the piece of advice that you would give to a couple if they found themselves in a situation where their communication dynamic was less than helpful?
Well, that's putting me on the spot.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I just gave it, first of all. You know what I would do? I think the best thing that you can do in that situation is that you can pray together.
Yeah, and
one of the beauties of Holy Mother Church, hear me, listeners, one of the beauties of Holy Mother Church is the treasury of prayers that we have down through the centuries. You don't even have to go to great lengths to make something up. Just get together and pray hold your spouse's hand and pray an Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be for your marriage.
That's right.
That's a great place to start.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly right. And when you do that, you know, you're really pulling down matrimonial graces. Those matrimonial graces are always there, and we can access them, right? And we can, and they can grow. They can develop, and we want for them to develop, and we want for them to grow. So I think that's the very best thing. I think that you came up with a perfect answer, Jack. I'm very pleased about that. When you hear that music, we're just about out of here for the day, and we are enjoying being with you Monday through Friday. We certainly do hope that you will join us for this program, Women of Grace Live, and all of the good programming right here on EWTN Radio. Want to remind you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. All kinds of good things going on. December the 17th through the 19th, Father John Paul, Mary Zeller, and myself will be at Malvern Retreat House. Sign up and join us. God bless you now. Bye-bye.